Welcome to day 155 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host, and today we are reading from the New American Standard Bible. We will be reading through Proverbs chapters 4, 5, and 6 today, and as we said yesterday, the author is believed to have been King Solomon, and he shared the wisdom in the book of Proverbs that he received from the Lord. So beginning at Proverbs chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching, do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will guard you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded, and if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instructions. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Chapter 5. My son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may observe discretion and your lips may reserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold of Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways are unstable. She does not know it. Now then, my sons, listen to me, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, or you will give your vigor to others and your years to the cruel one. And strangers will be filled with your strength, and your hard-earned goods will go to the house of an alien. And you groan at your final end when your flesh and your body are consumed. And you say, How I hated instruction, and my heart spurned reproof. I have not listened to the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to my instructors. I was almost in utter ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. Drink water from your own cistern, and fresh water from your own well. Should your springs be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be yours alone, and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed, and rejoice in the wife of your youth. As a loving hind and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times. Be exhilarated always with her love. For why should you, my son, be exhilarated with an adulteress and embrace the bosom of a foreigner? For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. His own iniquities will capture the wicked, and he will be held with the cords of his sin. He will die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he will go astray. Chapter 6. My son, if you have become surety for your neighbor, have given a pledge for a stranger, if you have been snared with the words of your mouth, have been caught with the words of your mouth, do this then, my son, and deliver yourself, since you have come into the hand of your neighbor. Go, humble yourself, and importune your neighbor. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hunter's hand, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and your poverty will come in like a vagabond, and your need like an armed man. A worthless person, a wicked man, is the one who walks with a perverse mouth, who winks with his eyes, who signals with his feet, who points with his fingers, who with perversity in his heart continually devises evil, who spreads strife. Therefore, his calamity will come suddenly. Instantly, he will be broken and there will be no healing. There are 6 things which the Lord hates. Yes, 7 which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that run rapidly to evil. A false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. My son, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart, tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you, and when you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light. And reproofs for discipline are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, nor let her capture you with her eyelids. For on account of a harlot, one is reduced to a loaf of bread, and an adulteress hunts for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Or can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is the one who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her will not go unpunished. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he's hungry, but when he is found, he must repay sevenfold. He must give all the substance of his house. The one who commits adultery with a woman is lacking sense. He who would destroy himself does it. Wounds and disgrace he will find, and his reproach will not be blotted out. For jealousy enrages a man, and he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not accept any ransom, nor will he be satisfied, though you give many gifts. This is the end of today's scripture reading.
Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional.
Proverbs chapter 4 starts out with the author, King Solomon, telling about how when he was a child or a son to his father, tender and the only son in the sight of his mother, which was Bathsheba, and his father, King David, he tells about how his father taught him and said to him, "Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live." And then he tells him two powerful statements, "Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding." And let us just say that it's very clear that the words that King David, Solomon's father, spoke to him obviously made a very deep impact, because when God appeared to him in a dream, told Solomon he could ask him anything, he could make any request of God and God would give it to him, that Solomon's request was the very thing that his father King David had urged him to pursue: wisdom and understanding. David told his son Solomon, go after these, acquire these, do whatever it takes to get this. And so when God asked him, what is it you want? He repeated to the Lord the thing his father had instructed him to pursue: wisdom and understanding. To me, this demonstrates how powerful of an influence a parent has upon a child, and that we as Christian parents need to be the ones that are continuously speaking words of life and wisdom over our children, and it will carry them through. And when they're older, they'll remember the instruction that we gave to them. And so it was with Solomon. So he did the very thing David instructed him. He pursued wisdom and understanding. And then we have so many powerful instructions here in Proverbs chapters 4, 5, and 6. But I want to take you to one particular verse in the 6th chapter that I want to bring your attention today in the short time that we have together in our devotional. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16, 17, and through verse 20. And it is the place where it says, there are 6 things which the Lord hates. Now, I'll just make the comment that if there's anything that God hates, we want to line ourselves up with it and hate what God hates. And conversely, we want to love what God loves. So here we're given very profound insight into something, 6 things the Lord hates. And then the next line of that verse says 7, which are an abomination to him. So it's like emphasizing the 7th thing as even stronger in disgust to the Lord. 6 things which the Lord hates. Yes, 7, which are an abomination to him. So let's find out what those 7 things are. The first one, haughty eyes, which implies a prideful look. When you look at people, you have an attitude that you're superior and they are inferior. That is something God hates, because God sees everybody the same. Do you know that? God looks at the poorest person and the wealthiest person and he sees no difference between them. They are both created children of God. Whether they're serving God or they're not, they were created to be children of God. So God sees them the same. He doesn't see the king as superior to the pauper on the street. Quite the contrary. He sees everyone the same. He created all of them. Their circumstances may have influenced their current standing in the world's eyes, but in God's eyes, they're the same. So no matter who you see today, Never have haughty eyes where you see yourself as better or superior, because it's something that God really hates. The second thing, a lying tongue. You know, God is a God of truth. And so when someone lies, deceives, twists the truth, makes something appear one way when it's really another way, that is something God hates. Number three, hands that shed innocent blood. We know that today the earth is filled with violence. That is exactly the same as when in the days of Noah, when God destroyed the earth, it says that the earth was filled with violence. That's what was said about Noah's generation. Sadly, we are back to the same level. Maybe it's even worse because the numbers of people in the earth has increased, the population has increased, so you could say violence has increased. And this is something that God hates so much, the shedding of innocent blood. We live in a day when there are millions of babies being aborted every single year just in the United States. That is the shedding of innocent blood, and God hates it. The fourth one, a heart that devises wicked plans. That stands alone and speaks for itself. The fifth thing that God hates, feet that run rapidly to evil. The sixth one, a false witness who utters lies. You know, we have a justice system in the United States, and of course, other nations also have justice systems where witnesses are brought forth to a court and they are sworn under oath to tell the truth about the case that's before the judge. And when a witness comes forth and utters lies for the purpose of destroying the person who's being either charged with a crime or sued in a court setting, this is exactly what's being addressed here. A false witness who utters lies. It also applies to other settings where a person has to testify in some way. Maybe it's an employment setting and someone comes and lies about another employee for their own advantage. God says he hates a false witness who utters lies. And now we get to the seventh one, which is actually the one I want to discuss today. Remember, verse 16 said there are six things the Lord hates, which we just went through that list, seven, which are an abomination to him. And now we get to the seventh, the one that causes the Lord to literally say that it's an abomination. And it is this, one who spreads strife among brothers. Let's take a look at what this actually means. One who spreads strife among brothers. The King James renders that line as he who sows discord among brethren. He who sows discord. So the idea is a person who's planting division between people. It's also translated contention between brothers, brethren. This can mean obviously in a family setting, but it can also mean in a general sense the Christian community. Among church members, Christian brothers and sisters, think about that. Having been in pastoral ministry with my husband for many years, we have had plenty of opportunity to observe people who had a habit pattern of sowing strife among brethren, or sowing discord, or planting contention, differences between people in a church. And we know that the way that contention or discord or strife is sown, it's sown by words. People will say something that causes someone to feel discord or disunity suddenly between themselves and another person. And of course, this is usually some sort of evil speaking. In other words, repeating something negative about someone else. Now, you can tell negative things all day long about any person because you will find that there's not a human upon the earth who hasn't made a mistake, done something wrong, said something wrong, perhaps reacted wrongly to a situation. So we could easily find negative things to say about everyone. You could find negative things to say about your family members, your church members, your people at work. it's so easy. Let's just say that's a sin that easily besets us. We could speak evil of people all day long. And when I say that, I mean what the Bible means. You're saying something negative, unkind about someone else, or just repeating their faults. Oftentimes people say, well, I don't speak evil, I'm just telling the truth. You know, sometimes telling the truth to someone else, and you're not talking to the person, you're talking to somebody else about another person, and you're repeating their faults, that is speaking evil. You are putting them in a bad light to somebody else who's not involved in the situation. If you need to go and speak to somebody about something they've done wrong, the Bible clearly gives us biblical direction about that. Read Matthew chapter 18. It talks about if someone has sinned, go to that person in private. You go directly to the person. You don't talk about the person to other people, because that action of talking about someone else to other people who aren't involved is the very thing that causes contention, division, discord, and disunity, whether it's in a family or in a church. And that's the way that it is done, because perhaps the person has had a good attitude or a good opinion about the other party, and you come along and you repeat or discuss some fault that you see in them or something they did that you don't approve of. When you do that, you have fallen right into this category of one who spreads strife among brothers, one who sows discord among brethren, the one that God calls an abomination to himself. Because, you know, God covers people's sin all the time with his love. Love covers a multitude of sins, a multitude of failings, a multitude of shortcomings, a multitude of mistakes made by any and every person on the earth. God is continually covering those things with his blood. He's willing to cover them and to take the person by the hand and move them forward and take them off the ground, set them on their feet, and help them to go forward in a godly way. But when we as Christians take it into our power, which is within your power, because you have the ability to speak and you have the ability to paint a picture with your words about another person that is either good or it is evil. You can choose that. And when you do it and you choose to repeat their failings, repeat their sin, repeat what you think is their problem, repeat what you think is their failing or shortcoming, then what you have done is you've put a division between the person you're talking to and the person you're talking about. Because it's very possible they didn't have a negative opinion about the person until you came along and sowed that seed, planted that seed of disunity, discord, contention, a little bit of trouble between that person and the one you're speaking about. This is something that is such a big sin in the body of Christ. I see this continuously. It is our responsibility as believers to take hold of what the Bible says about how to deal with situations where there is some issue of another brother or sister stumbling, not doing well, sinning in some way, making a mistake, needing correction. But there are ways to do it where love is shown and their mistake is covered, and you are praying for them until they get healed and put things in right order. It is not right for us to go talk about other people's failings to other people, even if you are sure you are right that they are wrong. It doesn't matter. It is better for us to obey the word of the Lord and do things in a biblical way, to cover with love and grace and pray for the person that if we know that they are stumbling in some way. And then that way, we aren't kicking them while they're down. We're helping them to stand up on their feet. It would be the very thing that you would desire someone to do for you. So let us be very careful that we don't fall into this category of being one who spreads strife among brothers, one who speaks something that causes discord or disunity or contention to happen between two brethren, a Christian brother or sister and another one, or within your own family, repeating the failings of somebody in your family to another family member who may have felt perfectly fine about that person until you started revealing all of this to them. It is better for us to pray for the person we see who's having a hard time or doing something wrong, and then take the Matthew 18 approach, go one-on-one to that person, and then if they won't receive it, Matthew 18 gives us further directions where it says take someone else from the church and go speak to that person. And that way, with the intention of helping that person to correct something in their life, but never, ever, ever to go repeat it to all kinds of other people. That is not God's way. We don't want to cause disunity between a brother and a sister because you have a problem with them on another, in another way. So let's be very careful with this issue. I believe it has been an issue that has plagued the church. And it has caused churches to split. It has caused families to break up. It has caused friends to have their friendships broken because a third party came in and said something bad about the friend and you believed it and then you had a bad feeling in your heart. That's where there's discord, there's disunity happening. God doesn't want that. That's the devil's desire, to bring disunity to the body of Christ, to families, to friendships. Let's not go there. Let's say, God, help us. If you're having a hard time with someone, ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom. Follow the biblical pattern and don't become a person who spreads strife or sows discord among brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Doing things the biblical way always produces good fruit. You may not see it immediately. It may take years for this to bear itself out. You may go and tell a person one-on-one what the problem is, and they may not receive it. They may be angry with you. They might be angry for years. But if you have truly done things in a biblical way, and you've been careful to cover with love and just pray for the person and let the Lord deal with that person, the end result will be good fruit because you haven't sinned against God and you've given grace to allow the other person to receive from the Lord themselves. And that way relationships aren't damaged and God can do a healing work and there isn't a repair that needs to be done because of your action or your words. So let's take this to heart. We don't want to be an abomination in God's eyes. And if you have been a person that has said something evil, negative, disrespectful, dishonoring about another person to somebody else, then go to that person and say, please forgive me. I said something I should never have said. And let that be cleared up so that there's not disunity and discord between members of the body of Christ. And then God can bless us and help us as He so desires to do. And we won't be giving the enemy, the devil himself, a foothold in the body of Christ. God bless you and give you a victorious week.
If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. Once again, that's P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Have a victorious week.